We're in Thanksgiving mode right now. So let's talk a little Thanksgiving. Let me take today's passage and kind of place it in history. We're going to be looking, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But just to kind of help you figure out where this is, let's go all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He made all that. He made Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had one command, don't eat that fruit. They ate that fruit, kicked out of the garden. Generations go by. We have Noah. More generations go by. We have Abraham called out of land of Ur. He comes to this land that God promises him. And there he has his son Isaac. And then Isaac has Jacob, and then Jacob has 12 sons, and they wind up down in Egypt because of a famine. And they're there for about 400 years, wind up being enslaved, and then God uses Moses to lead them up back to that promised land. They don't go there directly because they don't have enough courage, enough faith in God to move into the land. So that generation wanders around until there's a generation ready to trust God. They come in then into the promised land. And they set up, and they've got some good years. They've got some bad years. Things go by. They cry out, hey, we want a king. They get a king by the name of Saul. Saul is eventually replaced by David. David's son Solomon takes over the kingship. And then in the next generation, there's a civil war. And Israel breaks. And the southern tribes, two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, are known as the Kingdom of Judah. All the rest of the northern tribes are known as the Kingdom of Israel. All of the kings of Israel, those northern tribes, are bad. They all lead their people into idolatry. The kings of Judah, some are bad, some are good. We're going to look at one of the good ones today. His name is Jehoshaphat. Became king when he was 35. He ruled for 25 years. And here's what we read beginning this. It says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Mennonites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazanah Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So get the picture here. These three nations merged into one large, vast army. How did Jehoshaphat respond to this threat, to their very lives? They sought the Lord. Notice they were scared, they were frightened, but they didn't panic. Instead, they prayed. That's a great reminder for you and me. When we hear of something, when we see something that scares us, that threatens us, that frightens us, oftentimes our tendency is to panic. And we try to quickly solve the problem in our own wisdom, and we never take the time to seek out God. So when you feel this, whatever it might be, don't panic, pray. In the season right now that we have in this pandemic, you know, we're afraid for our health. There are fears and concerns of job loss, family problems, you know, where everybody's just kind of in together. When you have a big event like this, all the little things that normally you can get by through just seem to get bigger. Your kids are trying to get through school. Teachers are trying to help kids get through school. Parents are trying to figure out how to get through their kids through school without becoming alcoholics. It's a rough time for everybody. And you can feel all of this, like it's just going to crash over you and like a giant wave and drown you. And if you've ever been in a moment when you feel like you're about to drown, what do? You panic. Don't panic. Pray. One of the things when we've learned over the years is that if some part of your clothing catches on fire, what's the last thing you want to do? run around saying, my clothes are on fire. What do? You stop, drop, and roll. And if it feels like your life is on fire right now, what do you want to do? Stop, drop, and pray. That's a great reminder. Let's say that all together. Stop, drop, and pray. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's pick up in verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat, he stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard, and he said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. So when we're praying, when we've stopped, dropped, and prayed, what do? We need to remember who God is and what he has done. That's what Jehoshaphat is doing. He's saying, well, I'm reminding you who you are. You are the God of heaven. You are the God of power and might. No one can withstand up to you. And you've done these mighty things for us over the years. We can do the same thing. It's easy in the moment to just see what's around you. But if you will stop and look and say, how has God led me through the years? What has he done? How has he answered my prayers before? Stop and recall in your own life how God has directed you. We can counter these thoughts. You know, sometimes when we have threats, we begin to catastrophize in our thinking. We make things problem. We take possibilities and make them absolute things that are going to happen. We can counter those thoughts by taking the time to remind ourselves of some eternal truths. How do we do that? Read scripture. A great place to go is the Psalms, because you see David doing this very thing, taking his concerns and his threats and all the stuff that's happening, and he brings them before the Lord. You can listen to music that contains these messages. There's a great debate going on. Can you listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving? Is that somehow allowed? Yes. We've been at it for about a month now. Now, here's why. Think about, now I'm not talking about, you know, the latest Mariah or that Mariah Carey song that keeps coming up, you know. Go to some of those great Christmas carols and stuff that have just some great truths in them for you and me to listen to. How encouraging and uplifting to remind ourselves of these things. You can write down the things that God has done. You can write down your prayers. You can journal. You can schedule yourself daily emails. Just on one day, sit down and say, okay, this week, this email is going to go this time and this time. And here's a message I want to remind myself when I see it down the road. Paul says to take every thought captive for Christ. Now, that won't happen without a tussle. So you have to get in there. You have to fight for these thoughts. You can do it. It's possible. Go a little bit further. Picking up in verse 10, it says, and now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are now repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now I love that last sentence. They've been there. We don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. One of the best things we can do in situations like this when we find ourselves feeling overwhelmed and outnumbered is just admit the situation to God and to yourself and to other people to talk these things out, to say, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. I'm frustrated. I'm scared. I just don't know. It's okay to admit that and to admit it to God. Take the time to do that, to think it through. Sometimes when we're faced with these challenges, we try to minimize them. We want to deny it, the situation. We kind of wishful thinking, it's not really that bad. Well, folks, sometimes it is that bad. And it's okay to admit it. It's okay to face the situation directly and to process all of those painful situations and options that we have before us. And if you can do this with a friend or two, even better. Right now, you probably have something that you're feeling overwhelmed by. Maybe you're mad because you can't get together with your relatives for Thanksgiving or Christmas this year. Maybe you're tired of being told you got to wear a mask even at church. Or you're mad because some people won't wear their mask while in church. Whatever it is that's going on, maybe you're a teacher and you're just so done with 2020, but you know it's not ending in 2021. Whatever it might be that's going on in your life, let's have a chat with God about it. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you some time to just pray and talk, and then our worship band's going to come and they're going to lead us in some singing. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now. It's hard to be thankful when you're tired, when you're frustrated, when you're afraid. But somehow that's what you call us to do, to come before you. So we want to do that right now. Lord, help us. Help us right now to just admit whatever is going on in our life, that we are powerless over it, but you are not. Maybe there's some options we just don't want to take. We need the courage to take them. Whatever it might be, Father, we just give these next few moments to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. This next verse I just love. I hadn't seen this in a long time, and it really struck me. All of the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. That just hit me. That scene, that picture there of families gathered together, seeking the Lord, worshiping, praying. It's just a powerful image and a reminder to us that as people of faith, we want to introduce our children to the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want them not only to hear it from us, but to see it in us. To see our commitments, our values, our strengths being played out, our hope in the Lord. So that it might be something they want to take hold of. But here's what they're doing. They're letting God speak through his word. That's something you and I need to do. It's one thing if we come to God and we say, okay, God, what do I do? Let him speak to you. A prophet by the name of Ezekiel then spoke. He said, picking up in verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Amen? You know, different situations require a different message. Here, the message is simply, you know, I want you to come out, I want you to stand firm, and I want you to watch me work. Now, sometimes the message is, here's what you need to do. Here's your action. You're going to do this. I'll be with you, but you're going to do this. Sometimes the message is, watch me work. So just be prepared that as you read through God's word, you may see some different things you're called to do. Sometimes you're called to be still and know that God is Lord. Sometimes you're called to get into the fight. Just be aware of that. Be aware of that. It can be hard to know this. As you read through and you're going, well, what should I do? And that's why, you know, the more familiar we become with God's word, become with God's way, become more familiar with his will, the more we're able to adapt and understand our own discernment skills. It takes time. It takes listening to other people, talking with other people, processing it out. But it's something you can develop. Verse 21 says this, Jehoshaphat then appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. And here's what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now this was something they were able to pull from a psalm of King David. And it's a recurring verse that we see. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. But will you say it with me, whether you're in the room or watching at home? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. So what we're told here to do is when we're faced with this threat, when we're faced with overwhelming odds, when we're faced with something we don't know how to handle, when our temptation is to go, oh, here we go again, and get all angry and griping and complaining. Instead, give thanks. That can be hard to do when you don't feel it, but something happens. Something happens when we choose to follow a thought through, to reinforce it. Guess what? Our feelings can change. Feelings follow thoughts. And you may have to repeat yourself this thing over to yourself over and over and over again, but you can. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Lean in to thanksgiving. Right now, just think for a moment, and I want you to, I'm just going to give you a moment to just think of one thing you are thankful for, then all together, we're going to say it out loud. Okay? Just all together, at the same time, I'm going to say one, two, three, and you're going to say it. So you got it? You got to hold that thing? You ready? You at home? You got a hold of it? You ready? One, two, three, my wife. What if you did that on a regular basis? Just write down, here's what I'm thankful for. Here's what I'm thankful for. Go a little further. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. You see what happened here? First, you know, it's like these three gangs together. And two of them say, let's take that one out, because if we take them out, guess what? There'll be more plunder for us. And then they say, well, let's, if two's better than three, one's better than two. And they begin attacking each other. And where the seed came from to do all that, it sounds like it comes from the Lord in some form or fashion. And they turn on one another. The people, instead of having to go down and fight and battle, they're like, wow, these armies are doing the job for us. And God says, that's me. I can confound your enemies. The call here is for us to trust God for the results. Here's what I know you've been in some situations where you wanted it to go differently than maybe it did. Or you think God isn't moving and acting fast enough. Let me remind you of this verse. It comes from the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. This tells us, it reminds us, that human history and human activity is sometimes it just feels so random and absurd and meaningless. But God is on the move. And God can work in your life. And he can even take the bad stuff, the hard stuff, the painful stuff that he didn't necessarily cause. But he can take that and he can redeem it. And he can take and make beauty out of ashes. Somehow he can make your cup overflow in the presence of your enemies. Whatever that enemy's name is. Trust God for the results. Paul, in the book of Philippians, is contemplating the fact that he may not make it out of there alive. And if anyone could be discouraged and frustrated and wonder what God was up to, it would be Paul at this moment in time. Here's what he writes. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, I want you to catch just that for a moment. If you find yourself afraid and go, I don't know how I'm going to behave or act in this situation. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I'm getting panicky. Paul was there. Paul was in those moments. He's like, I hope. I want to, when it comes time, if I'm executed, that I can walk boldly out there and not cry and whimper like a little baby. It's his prayer, it's his hope, it's his expectation, but he's still a little bit unsure. And then he says this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. So the upside is I'll get to tell more people about Jesus. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Because the upside on the other side is going to be with Jesus face to face. More people, one to Jesus, meet Jesus. Win-win. But look what he says. What shall I choose? I don't know. Maybe you've found yourself in that time too. You don't know. It's okay not to know. It's okay to be afraid, scared, frustrated, even angry. But turn to God. Give thanks, for his love endures forever. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for an opportunity to give thanks to you, to be reminded that whatever is happening in life, we have you as our anchor, as our rock, as our hope. So Lord, whatever is going on in families' lives here, in situations, individuals, I pray that they will lean into you and give thanks for your good and your love does endure forever. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.